This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's about freezing. You got to put it in perspective.
All right, and action. Got to wait for camera.
Sorry, I knew that.
Camera's ready.
And action.
But you gotta wait for sound too, Todd.
Yeah, I knew that too.
Sound speeding.
And action.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah! Woo!
Kevin Ryder and Gene Bean Baxter are a couple of wonderful radio men. Oh, yeah. Kevin and Bean, yeah. I respect them both very much because they're wonderful and talented radio guys, and everybody loves to listen to them on the radio because they do such a good job on the radio. Kevin and Bean.
And now.
And that is the control room where the magic happens.
Is there magic happening?
I mean metaphorical magic.
Oh, it's always metaphorical magic.
Our feature presentation.
I just want to start by... What?
I don't think you can say that. The second part of that bull.
The heat?
The bull.
Heat.
Right. Good.
Right.
The word after bull.
Oh, yeah. That's changed now?
Yeah. It's in the last 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Oh, that's a bummer.
How hot has it been?
I mean, at times, at my house, 113, 14.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, don't say
like it's nothing. He's like, mm-hmm.
No, I'm just...
My air conditioning went out. Thank you for asking.
Oh, no.
Sure. You know, like they do.
Of course.
When it's hot.
How long was the wait for someone to come out?
A couple days.
Oh.
Dude.
2 days, which is, by the way, pretty good.
It's pretty good during a heat wave.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you just went back to Las Vegas, right?
So that happened. Yeah, no kidding. At least in Las Vegas, I stayed inside.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it was. And then there was a power outage. I don't know if you...
I heard about that.
That night.
Yeah.
So that was good.
So, yeah.
Good times. So we can't say that word anymore is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
man.
Funny. Yeah. What? Again, you just said it again.
Oh.
Kevin.
That's my bad.
Are you trying to get us fired?
Yep.
Is that what's happening here?
He's that hot.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 17th of July.
We are back. This is live. This is happening. This is not the best of. In fact, I think you'll agree after you hear today's show, this is in no way the best of. Why? What's happening now?
Bean, you're not here, but we walked in, and first of all, when you're tired from vacation, and you walk into the studio, and it smells like paint,
mm-hmm.
and it's black. Everything in here has been painted black. What's happening?
I heard that Kat Corbett almost passed out from the paint fumes one day while they were in there working. Because, you know, it's a small room, and they're in there just painting around you while you're trying to do your show.
It is a huge difference to walk into a room that has all black walls.
What happened?
Yeah. I mean, it really just feels like we're going emo.
Is that it?
Like I need to start wearing fishnets.
What?
I think that's definitely emo.
Even better, Kevin, they're going to put dark tiles in.
On the roof?
Yep.
All right.
It's the weirdest cave I've been in.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I think indoors it's called a ceiling, by the way.
What did you say? On the roof?
Roof, yeah.
It's on roof.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know. Maybe on the roof, too, Bean.
Yeah, that's true, too.
We don't know.
All right. Bean? So we're working in a tiny black box, basically, is what's happening.
I kind of like it. It's weird, but I kind of like it.
Ugh. It's not a nightclub, though. It's a
radio studio. We do need a disco ball.
Yeah, you're supposed to be able to see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we got a lot to get to today, but let me start with this. This is a very curious story, and as usual, I have many questions that are not addressed. Kevin, you still subscribe to Optometry Today, right? You still get that at the house?
Of course.
Well,
I write a column.
This is a bizarre story about a 65-year-old woman who showed up at her scheduled routine cataract surgery appointment. And they prepare her to take her in for the surgery. And they are getting ready to inject anesthesia into her eye in the Solihull Hospital, southeast of Birmingham in England, when they noticed a bluish foreign body in her eye. Now, what could that be, you think?
Bluish?
A bluish foreign body in her eye.
Not like a contact. Like a colored contact?
Exactly like a contact.
It is?
They pulled out 27 contact lenses
from
her eye. She had 17 contact lenses that were clumped together, and then they found 10 other contact lenses also in her eye.
She must have been outraged. How many does it take? I put 27 in, for God's sakes.
She had been wearing monthly disposable contact lenses for 35 years, but apparently had missed a meeting or a lesson or something at some point along the way that is supposed to describe that you take one out when you put the other one in, right?
She thought disposable. It would just probably just go away in her eye.
I don't know if that's what she thought or not. That's what I'm trying to figure out, because after 35 years of contacts, there would be way more in her eye if that's what she thought. So I feel like at some point she took them out, but sometimes maybe she... You know, they're so tiny now and thin. It's not like the old hard contacts that people used to have to wear, that I wonder if someday she put her finger in, ran it over her eye, and thought the contact came out and thought, oh, I'll put another one in now, and didn't realize it hadn't come out. Maybe that was, well, she had a problem with her vision, maybe, so she couldn't tell whether she was pulling it out or not. So 27 contact lenses in her eyes. She had not complained about any irritation, by the way. They did not do the surgery that day. She was sent home, and 2 weeks later came back for another appointment, and she felt fine. She said she had thought the previous discomfort that she had felt was just part of old age and thought she had dry eyes. So she didn't think there was anything exceptional going on in her eye. But doesn't this make you wonder about whoever the referring doctor was that sent her? Because you got to go see an eye doctor before you go to a cataract surgery. So at some point, she went to a doctor who she wanted to get the referral for the surgery. Shouldn't that doctor have examined her and seen this? This should have been figured out long before she got to the cataract surgery.
Yeah, you would think so, yeah.
But it's a very bizarre story, by the way.
27
contact lenses in her eye.
Maybe she'd like one more. Maybe it would have worked.
I don't think that's the... But
is that not what we're saying?
I don't think that's the takeaway, Kevin,
okay. No. All right. She should have had the best vision in the world, though.
Right?
But anyway, so stop it.
Okay. That's the takeaway. Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
Let's hear the genius that keeps you guys locked in a solid fifth place in the ratings every week.
we're shooting for fifth, by the way. Zachary Levi is on the program today. Love him so much. Talking about Comic-Con this weekend.
Yeah, I think he's doing some live on the Sci-Fi Channel work from San Diego every night.
He is indeed. Adam Carolla will be on the program today. We are going to talk about Bean's podcast, which I have not heard, but I have heard from other people that it is genius.
There's a whole range of emotions from Bean's podcast.
All I saw was genius and gold.
I love it.
I didn't see any negative comments.
No.
Are there some?
I don't believe so.
Okay. The Pope.
Oh, you guys haven't met Ralph Garman?
Let's just hold off on that until I hear the highlights, because I don't want to isolate Ralph as being the only one that didn't like it. Until I hear it.
Okay.
That's fair, right? All right. We've got tickets for Comic-Con, speaking of that. We have What's Up with Florida on the program today, and we're going to talk to TMZ, our good friend Van Lathan.
Who?
Talk on the program today. I'm not exactly sure who that is, but I assume he works at TMZ. So we're going to talk to him coming up in the 6 o'clock hour like we do on Mondays. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Kevin and Bean.
You guys suck. Both you guys suck.
LA and OC's alternative rock, K-Rock.
Ralph, we're going to have to address this at some point, but do you get the impression that if in Kevin's perfect world, people would be put down at a certain age?
Sure, he like, seems to get surprised that people get older as time moves forward.
They're not allowed to get
older. He hasn't really grasped that concept, that much.
I'm fine with that. I'm just saying he doesn't.
Now he's like older than he was before when I saw him.
I'm fine with that, but I just
what's the guy going to do?
At some point, maybe retire. That's the people that keep doing what they're doing at that age that sort of run. drives me crazy.
You see, no irony in you saying that, by the way.
I do not know.
I was looking at him as he said it, like, are you getting
this? Yeah, you might want to pedal back on that one.
I understand what you're laughing at.
But why is it okay for us to be old and still keep plying our trade, still getting them going to work every morning?
Because we're still this good.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
That's all right. Why. Well, we'll save that for another day because Kevin has very odd thoughts about people getting old.
Kevin's gone bye-bye.
At a certain point, you can't do what you do anymore either. I didn't know that was the rule. I didn't know you had to stop doing what you love because you get older.
I'm saying, like Muhammad Ali, for example, mm-hmm. when he aged out, he couldn't keep doing.
Well, he got a debilitating disease.
Right, along with as much as brain damage out.
Both.
Yeah.
Both
happened. But I did say what we were referring to was a singer, and I said, "Can he still hit those notes?"
Speedwagon.
Right?
Can he still hit those notes? Yeah. And you're like, "Yeah,
yeah." So that's the exact reason why he shouldn't stop what he's doing because his skill set is not that diminished.
I think he's fake. I think he's a robot. I don't think he's a real person. So let's move on.
Oh my God!
Can we also discuss why Kevin thinks putting on fishnet stockings will make him emo?
Yep.
How is that? What is that? How is that
That's
a thing?
Amazing. Wasn't
How
it?
Is emo the same thing as cross dressing?
Well, Omar told us that he used to be emo and he had a shirt that was.
No, it's fishnet gloves, he said he would wear. Fishnet gloves.
Okay, well, so I got confused about gloves and a shirt. What's the difference?
No, you got confused.
No, fishnets are neither gloves nor
stockings.
Shirts. They're stockings. Fishnets are stockings.
Look at his face.
They're wide weave, sexy black stockings that strippers or hookers wear.
I see. Okay.
No, you don't see. That's not emo.
Fire must cleanse us.
I mean,
I'm going to take that as a win.
My blood pressure last week was perfect.
Was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
This week, spiking.
We just started.
We're not even on the air yet. The show didn't even start till 6. This is just the pre-roll.
Stroke out.
Ralph, thank you for holding down the fort while we were gone those 8 days. We appreciate it very much.
It was seriously my pleasure.
All right.
It was a fun week. It was very nice.
Uh-huh. Well, the listeners very much enjoyed you being there. So
very relaxed.
You.
Nice to have a little new in with the best of, I always think.
All right, let's take a look at what's happening on this Monday morning.
Before I do that, let me give you something. If you want to spend an evening listening to the kind of magic that comes out of Kevin's mouth that has come out this morning, you can do so at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino.
Yeah!
When you play poker with Kevin at K-Rock's night, Guy's Night Out.
When is that, Kevin?
That's this Friday night, Allie.
This Friday night, Kevin will be playing poker with you, the K-Rock listener, and you will sit at his table, and you'll play poker, and you'll hear gems like, I'm a limo with fishnets. And that guy's old. He's just stopped doing what he loves. You'll hear those kind of things as he tries to bluff your money away from you. If you'd like to go, why don't you give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Play at Kevin's table at K-Rock's Guy's Night Out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino this Friday. You also get $200 in chips.
You don't even have to play with your own money.
Nope. And Beer Mug will be there to meet and greet with you as well. Dave's going to be there. It's going to be spectacular. So give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. You got to be 21 years of age or older, however. So let's be caller number 21. How about that? Caller number 21, Ruben, if you're listening to the other room. All right, let's talk about entertainment news. It is a Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. War for the Planet of the Apes won the war for the top of the box office. A lot of people were suspecting, will Spider-Man hang on? Will the apes knock Spidey off the top of the tower? Well, it sounds like a good movie, by the way. $56.5 million put Planet of the Apes at number one this week.
Who wins if Spider-Man takes on Caesar?
Oh, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man still is. All right.
Come on.
Please.
Spider-Man,
Caesar all day.
Spider-Man Homecoming was number two at the box office with another $45.2 million. Not bad second place. Despicable Me 3, Baby Driver, and The Big Sick were the top five films. Wonder Woman was number six. Wish Upon. Oh, I can't watch that. It's too scary. Cars 3, Transformers, The Last Night, and The House.
The Big Sick was number five?
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Only with $7.6 million, though.
But come on. Who's with me?
No, I don't quite understand what you're saying.
I'm with you. The Big Sick coming in number five.
It came in at number five because the top two films took so much of the box office that lesser films who weren't making much were able to move up in the ranks.
Well, I still say good job.
Okay.
Remember last week, Chip?
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Were those the good times?
Those were the good times. Sad news. Well, lost two legends over the weekend.
Yeah.
George Romero, who pretty much invented zombies. That's all. Just sort of created the zombies. There's no Walking Dead. There's no zombie movies. No zombie TV shows or comics without this guy who in 1968 did a movie called Night of the Living Dead, which started the whole thing off and became an instant cult classic. Then Dawn of the Dead, of course. Day of the Dead, Land of the Dead, Diary of the Dead, Survival of the Dead. He likes them dead. George Romero passed away at 77 years old on Sunday. And Martin Landau, terrific actor, star on television of Mission Impossible, but did a bunch of other stuff too. He was in classic movies like North by Northwest and Crimes and Misdemeanors with Woody Allen. His work in Ed Wood won him an Oscar.
That's the one you would know, Kevin. Ed Wood, remember?
Yeah.
With Johnny Depp. Tim Burton directed film. Outstanding actor.
Terrific actor. 89. Worked right till the end, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And was part of the Actors Studio back in New York back in the early days. And really just stage, screen, television, did it all. And he was just a classic. Classic. 89 yeah. years old.
Real sad.
All right. I'm out of time, Reed. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Donald Sutherland, speaking of a classic actor, 82 years old today. The Hoff! David Hasselhoff. How does the Hoff celebrate a birthday?
Right?
That separates it from the rest of his time.
You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
He rocks.
I think he goes to Funner, California and just...
Mayors
pool,
it up.
Just pool... What happens to him? Mayors it up.
Mayors it up.
Uh-huh. Goes poolside and just waits for those fun police to come by and give him citations.
This is a mess.
65 years old today. Mark Burnett. Producer of Survivor and many other television shows.
But not Jingles.
Not goddamn Jingles. Ugh.
You guys might have to let that go.
No, I'm not letting it go.
He told us about a TV show called Jingles.
It's a genius idea.
7 years ago?
Right, mm-hmm. So just do it. You know what he did instead? The freaking pirate.
What did you guys do? That one slipped,
it
too.
It did. I slipped out. That was just me. That piece of crap. A pirate show?
Oh,
Pirate Island or Stabby McGee or whatever it was called. The pirate chest with knives and a boat and stuff.
It no doesn't one remembers sound good. This. I don't remember it at all. No. I would have watched it, though, it seems
no,
like.
No, you wouldn't have.
I
no
feel
one
like
did.
I would have watched it once.
Luke Bryan, the country singer, is 41 years old today. And actress Billie Lourd, you probably know her best as the daughter of Princess Leia herself, Carrie Fisher. It's 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got some stuff you just gotta try. What is it?
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. LA and OC's alternative rock. K-Rock.
We were on vacation, and I don't know what Bean's vacation plans were, but I know that Allie's were pretty spectacular.
Yeah, they were pretty good. I had a great time.
Tell us what you did.
I flew to London, hung out with some friends for a few days, and then while I was in London, one of my friends that I was going to see was going to be busy for like the first 3 days of my trip. In comes my very good friend, Michelle Beadle, who said, why don't you come to Amalfi, Italy, for those few days? Well, that sounds good.
Right.
So I flew down to Italy for 3 days, went all around Amalfi and Positano and just the most ridiculous places I've ever seen. And then went back to London and saw The Killers, Elbow, Tears for Fears, and then the next night saw U2. So it was pretty awesome. It was pretty much the greatest trip ever.
Wow.
I saw Bean's wife.
How is she?
She was in London.
She is
lovely. She's a wonderful woman. Had a great time with Bean's wife.
Right.
What's it like going on vacation with her?
It was pretty nice. We talked about you a little bit. Like, oh, Bean would like this. Should you call him? No, he's sleeping.
Is she still there?
I don't believe she's still there.
Okay.
She said she had somewhere else to be.
Because she's not here yet.
Oh, no.
So I just like to clarify. Bean had 2 weeks off.
Yes.
So he wasn't working.
Uh-huh.
And his wife was in London.
Right.
By herself.
Right. Well, no, with a friend.
Right,
she had
but
a friend.
Not with Bean.
Not
Bean,
with her husband.
Who
no.
had time off to go someplace.
Sure.
Okay. I think she looked at it as a good opportunity to get out of the house when I was going to be in the house a lot.
I'm just clarifying, like, there. Maybe you would have thought, hey, I should go along. That sounds cool.
I wasn't invited.
Allie, you had never been to London before.
I had not.
Now, it is...
my favorite city in the world, I think. I think it's the greatest city there is. I really do. And it's
that's
one of those
cities. That's why you went with your wife.
Again,
not invited.
It's really impossible to see and do all the things that there are in London in just a few days.
Especially if you don't go.
But did you see anything or did you see anything in the city, or were you just there for concerts mostly?
Like touristy things like Big Ben? And I did the South Bank. I did the Parliament. I did the Abbey thing. What is that?
Westminster Abbey?
Yes, I did that.
I love Westminster Abbey.
The Abbey thing.
Here's the thing. You go.
Did you nail Prince Harry?
I wish.
Okay.
You go, you look at stuff. I'm not the type of person to be like, wow, this is great. My response to seeing these beautiful things was, wow, that gold is tacky. And I would take a quick picture. But for me, like, people want to go to the museums. They want to do that.
Yeah.
I want to walk around Soho and dip into this bar. And, ooh, this is an interesting place. I want to walk around.
There needs to be a drink everywhere she goes.
I want to walk around Notting Hill and be like, oh, this is lovely. Check out that bar. And see, I'm seeing a theme now.
Okay.
See, that type of vacation, that's my type of vacation.
So less National History Museum and more find me a bar.
I will say this. I went on a jaunt with Bean's wife and her friend and Christine, and I didn't hear Christine Fung was there too.
What's happening?
I know this whole trip was just bizarre. So we went to
Bean and I were the only two people not invited
pretty much, but we went to Royal Albert Hall,
which is
the famous concert venue.
Yeah.
Nope, not where we went. That's where I thought we were going.
Oh.
We went to, where'd we go? See, now I'm getting confused. Mm. But we walked in and it was a museum.
Oh, the Victoria and Albert Museum.
That one. Yeah, I just heard Albert.
One of the greatest museums in the world.
Right. I got confused. So I walked in and I was like, wait, we're in a museum, you guys. They're like, right. We're here for the Balenciaga exhibit.
This is a problem with people who drink a lot.
And I literally was like, what do you mean Balenciaga exhibit? They're like, we're going to go through the history of fashion. And I'm like, F this. And I literally walked out, got in a cab, and went to Notting Hill. I was like, what is happening? I heard Albert, and I thought we were going to the concert hall, and that would be cool to see. But no.
No museums
for
you.
They wanted to go to a museum and look at the history of fashion, which apparently was lovely, and they had a great time. But I had a lovely time having cocktails in Notting Hill.
Did you go up on the London Eye by any chance?
No, but I was right by it
cool.
And was like, hey, look at all those people paying a ton to go in that little tube.
It's so a pretty great view.
Yeah,
there.
It is. I had my friend Greg was showing me around to some of the sites, and luckily a lot of the sites, he's like, that Marriott has a great bar. I'm like, cool, Greg, let's go there.
That's why he's your friend.
That
Definitely
is why he's my friend. That is why.
People who I know that go to London, about 24 hours in, they go, I could live here.
Oh, it didn't take that long.
Oh, really? Do you feel that way, too?
Absolutely.
Bean wants to move there.
Yeah.
I'd like to go
back. Which is why it's odd that he didn't go these last 2 hours.
Yeah, not invited.
Yeah.
Now, Kevin, you were, I was very excited because I knew you were going back to the World Series of Poker.
I got to be honest, I don't feel like we have time for anyone else's story right now.
Oh, come on.
Really? Yeah, we could do it later, but I mean, that was...
Maybe we'll do it later. You won, so we want to hear about it.
I mean, yeah, I won.
Yeah. Did you win?
Sure.
I'll just tell you this real quick because we gotta take a break. My brother went to visit my dad in Las Vegas over the 4th of July.
Oh, so you went
weekend.
With him.
I was not invited to that. I did offer to go, but my dad said, no, we're all full out. We've got a pretty busy schedule over here. But while he was there, he ran out to, what's the name of it? It's near my dad's house. The Santa Fe, I want to say.
Is that supposed to help us? It's near your dad's house?
In my mind, I was trying to think of it. I think it's called the Santa Fe Casino. So he ran out one afternoon to play some slot machines and was playing the dollar slots and won $8,000.
Wow!
On the dollar slot.
Awesome.
Son of a bitch.
I don't know anybody who's won $8,000 on a slot machine in Las Vegas, but it happened to my little brother over the holiday.
It's incredible.
You always hear about other people winning, but every once in a while.
Did you like high five? Oh, wait, you weren't there.
I wasn't there.
A grotesque monstrosity.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Born of relentless inbreeding. Chronically flatulent.
K-Rock.
Shall we go out to TMZ.com, find out what's happening in the newsroom? Van Lathan on the phone. Hey, Van, what's going on, man?
What's happening with you guys, man? What's up?
It's a pleasure to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Where's the boss? What's Harvey off doing?
some more account money. I don't know what rich guys do when they're not at work. But
you know what? It drives me crazy when people are supposed to be working and they go on vacation. You know?
Yeah.
That really sucks.
We just got back. Kevin, we've been gone for 2 weeks.
Oh, that's
our
right.
first show back. So, Van, a lot of great stuff on the site, but I want to start, if you don't mind, I just want to find out what you know about a developing story that is the trending topic all over the world today about R. Kelly being involved in some sort of crazy cult with a bunch of women held against their will, possibly in his home. What is this deal?
We're just beginning to kind of dig around into this thing, kind of find out what's what. Obviously, we're going to make sure to try to talk to families involved in this situation. And we should say that all of these are allegations right now. But
certainly,
I guess the allegations are that R. Kelly has a web and sort of a network of young women that he has in two different places, one in Atlanta and one in Chicago. And he basically lords over them as if he was a cult leader, like a Branch Davidian Waco type situation, where he controls what they eat, he controls what they wear, he controls.
So they can't leave.
Allegedly, they can't leave.
Okay.
The parents in this situation, they're specifically mentioned in the BuzzFeed article that all of this is originating from. The parents in this situation, one lady says that she hasn't spoken to her daughter since December. Even during the time that she's spoken to her, it was like one line in a text message. And Rob, who she refers to, I guess that's R. Kelly, only allows them to contact their people outside of his network when he says it's okay.
Wow. Are these girls of age or are they younger?
Yes. So in this situation, they all seem to be of age. And in these particular states, Atlanta and Chicago, the ages of consent are 16 and 17. But all of these girls are way older than that at this point anyway. They also spoke to people in R. Kelly's inner circle, formerly in his inner circle, like managers and people like that. They are sort of corroborating these stories and saying that there's some truth to this. Now, once again,
wow,
this should all be taken as allegations right now, because there's none of this stuff is illegal, right? It's not illegal for someone to these people are adults, so
right,
if they don't want to leave, you can't really make them leave. So none of this stuff is illegal.
That's allegedly a lot of pee.
That's allegedly a lot of pee.
Right?
You know what the point is? You know what the thing is this? So these things come out and we start like talking about them as if they're ironclad facts. And the reason why is it's impossible to be on the side of defending R. Kelly at this point.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
We know too much about him.
Yeah, so it's a weird thing, but it's, once again, it's Monday morning, story just broke, it's just the beginning.
Okay.
Here at TMZ, we're going to get to the bottom of it.
I appreciate that. On the phone with Van Lathan, TMZ.com newsroom, let's talk Aaron Carter, because there are a lot of angles to this story that it's sad over here, but also funny over there, right?
Always is with Aaron Carter. he says that his DUI that he got at AutoZone, first of all,
it's a party there. I don't know if you've been there recently.
AutoZone is a party.
I had AutoZone and I'm just throwing down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, y'all getting lit at AutoZone?
I don't know. It's weird.
Aaron, come on, dog. He says he was in AutoZone in Cornelia, Georgia. He says that they targeted him because he was famous. He says,
who would recognize Aaron Carter?
He thinks he's a major celebrity to the degree that he can't even go to AutoZone and get turned up without somebody, the cops coming over here and harassing him.
Van, I got to tell you, though, on your site, it looked like an hour earlier, you have him talking about Shia LaBeouf getting in trouble and him saying, A, he doesn't drink, and B, he'll never get a DUI.
And then that's what you put out in the universe. What happens then?
That's crazy.
DUI. But here's another part of the story. We have a Carter Civil War now.
Uh-oh.
Because Aaron then blasted his older brother Nick Carter because Nick tweeted about the incident. Aaron says, if my own blood truly cared about me and my well-being, he would call me instead of blasting me on Twitter. So, man, the Carter brothers are going at each other. He's getting lit at AutoZone. It's all crazy.
White people, right, Van? Am I right?
I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to say it.
You can say it here. I need to go to AutoZone. That's all I know.
Apparently so. All right. Look for TMZ throughout the day on Fox Channel 11. Like usual, don't forget the TMZ Live featuring Van Lathan and others airs Monday through Friday at 4 on same channel 11. TMZ Sports Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Enjoyed the chat, sir. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's a suckfest.
LA and OC's alternative rock. KROQ. Radio.com. Radio.
When I first saw this story, I was convinced it must be some sort of studio tie-in to promote the new Planet of the Apes movie. But in fact, it appears to be real. In St. Petersburg, Florida, they have had to close significant sections of the Silver Springs State Park there because it has been overrun by monkeys.
All right.
Kevin, I feel like you need to get on a plane and go to St. Petersburg.
Oh, great. I need to get me a monkey.
I have many questions about this story. These are non-native rhesus macaque monkeys. There are 150 to 200 of these wild monkeys living in the park and more outside the park as well. They have had to close two different walking areas, an observation deck and a boardwalk. These monkeys have taken over. They have drawn a line and said, this is our territory. No humans allowed. They're attacking people. There have been 18 confirmed reports of bites and scratches from the animals since they arrived at the park. They just showed up out of nowhere.
I saw this in the movie theater this weekend. It's called War for the Planet of the Apes.
This is what I'm telling you.
This is real.
This is real. This actually happened. They're not native to Florida. Where did they come from? Why are they there? And what is their plan?
Oh, we know their plan.
My favorite part of the story, though, is that experts warn that these monkeys can carry and transmit herpes B virus. There is no evidence that anyone has gotten sick from the monkeys yet. But look, we've all had difficult conversations with our significant others.
Right.
Look, can you imagine this?
Yes. Yes, it's herpes. Yes. Yes. Okay.
I was in St. Petersburg.
But it was from a monkey.
Got bit by a monkey. Not my fault.
Having to have that conversation. Beware if you're going to the Silver Springs Park in St. Petersburg. It's just the craziest story.
How'd they get there?
That's what I want to know. And 200 of them, by the way. That's almost like they showed up on a pontoon or something like that. They've invaded America.
On a pontoon.
A 38-year-old Jacksonville man accidentally shot himself in the penis when he sat down on his gun. According to a Jacksonville Sheriff's Office report, the man's girlfriend told police that he was sitting outside his Freedom Crossing Trail apartment in a car and then suddenly ran inside in a panic. His girlfriend approached him in the bathroom and saw that he had a gunshot wound, so she called 911. He said he had accidentally set his firearm off when he sat on it in the driver's seat of his vehicle.
Oh man.
That, right?
No.
I'm a no. This is an odd story, by the way. Ashley Curtis, Apopka, Florida is the city. Unfamiliar with that. She took a Lyft last Friday night. She's a frequent Lyft customer. She says she's used the service about 25 times, has never had an issue before. She only went about a mile. It was a $6 and $20 fee. She paid and, you know, on the app, went on her way. However, when she looked at her bank statement on Monday, she noticed that Lyft had charged her an extra $150 for damage to their vehicle. Now, my first question is, do you guys ever check after an Uber or a Lyft ride to find out how much you're charged?
Very rarely.
I mean, kind of assume the system is set up the way it works.
They
right?
send you the receipt, though, in the email.
Uber does, yeah. I don't know about Lyft. Same?
I don't know about Lyft. I'm sorry. That's Uber.
So she called Lyft to dispute the charges, and they said, hey, look, we sent you an email, which the lady didn't get, by the way. The customer did not get because it went to her spam folder, that said that they were accusing her of urinating in the backseat of the Lyft. They sent a picture that was taken at 12:55 a.m., even though her ride ended an hour and a half before. So she's like, look, I didn't pee in your car, and how can you accuse me of this, with this photo that was taken an hour and a half later? Who knows how many people came in the car after me? So she's disputing. She says she did not urinate in the car. She said, I was only in the car for 3 minutes. You can check that. You can see that that's the case. And an hour and a half later, you're accusing me of urinating in the car. They're trying to charge her $150 for it.
That's crazy.
If she didn't do it, That's no bueno, right?
Right.
I think it's no bueno either way.
Very Florida, by the way, that there's a story involving peeing in the back of a car. I like that. Here's another story that involves a car. Look, Kevin, you mentioned we came on today. It has been unbearably hot in so much of Southern California and so many parts of America. And this is a good time to mention, in all seriousness, don't leave your kids or your pets in a car.
It's shocking that still needs to be said ever.
Every single year, kids and pets die as a result of being left in the car. Now, fortunately, this little five-year-old who was sitting in a Hyundai is fine. And by the way, his mom ran into a dollar store on South Ridewood Avenue in South Daytona last week, left her son in the car because she said he didn't want to come in. He just wanted to wait for her while she was in the car. She even had the driver's side window down and one of the back windows cracked, too. So it doesn't seem like she was being especially neglectful or trying to injure this kid, okay? Mm-hmm. However, she was in the store for over 30 minutes, and somebody came by and saw that the kid was in the car and looked uncomfortable. The car was parked in direct sunlight without any shade, and they called the police. And the police showed up, got the kid out of the car, and arrested the woman, checked the temperature inside the vehicle, which was 107 degrees, by the way.
Wow.
For 30 minutes, 107 degrees for anybody is going to be way uncomfortable. Yeah. I think the reason this story made the news is while the woman was being arrested and driven to jail, she complained to the officers, please turn on the air conditioning. It's too hot in the back of your cruiser.
Wow. And then she peed.
She is facing child neglect charges and has been jailed on $5,000 bond. All right, we have one more story for you, and this is we've got audio from the news, and I love this newscaster so much because he puts the emphasis on all the wrong words.
Excellent.
But I think you'll enjoy this story.
A woman attempted to chew on a bag of methamphetamine that was found in her buttocks during her booking into a Florida jail.
Okay.
Wait, what? One more time.
Found in her buttocks?
It was found in her buttocks, yes.
Okay.
One more time.
30-year-old,
whoops, here we go.
A woman attempted to chew on a bag of methamphetamine that was found in her buttocks during her booking into a Florida jail.
In her buttocks. Found in her buttocks.
I love it.
That really 30-year-old Summer Adamson was arrested over the weekend, accused of breaking a car window in Naples. Deputies said a syringe and heroin were found next to Adamson inside the car. During a pat-down in jail, Adamson allegedly grabbed the drug bag he found in her bottom, put it in her mouth.
By the way, what was the last time you heard the button they referred to as a bottom? This guy is new to English, right?
He's not good.
And started chewing. Adamson faces charges that include drug possession, smuggling contraband into jail, and tampering with evidence.
He also sounds like he has a mouthful of cotton, too, while he's
does.
Reading it. That story, Reed, was not a success, but this has been What's Up with Florida.
And Bean.
Please enjoy our stupid show.
And right now, you come in with Comic-Con passes to give away.
Yeah, it's impossible to get these tickets. The San Diego Comic-Con at the Convention Center down there in San Diego, it sells out instantly every year. People are scrambling, trying to get in. We're just giving tickets away today. But you're going to have to earn them because I want to give them to somebody who really knows their comic book history. If it wasn't for the men and women who created these characters, lo, these many years ago, we wouldn't even been having this convention. So I thought it'd be fun to take a look at some comic creators.
Oh, yes, they're comic creators. Ooh. Their creations will live on and on. Ooh. If you play the game and you know the name, you might just go to Comic-Con.
Comic creators, these men and women created our favorite comic book characters many years ago. If you know the creators, I will give you the creators and a little trivia about the character, and you need to name the comic book character they created.
All right, fair enough. We're playing for a pair of one-day passes to San Diego Comic-Con at San Diego Convention Center starting Thursday through Sunday. Passes are sold out. Who's our first contestant, please?
Tiffany in Paris is a scribe at a hospital. I don't even know what that is.
Scribe. She has a feather. She has a feather pen. She dips it in an inkwell, and she writes in calligraphy the big scrolls that they use there at the hospital.
That's cool, Tiffany. Yeah,
it is. Thank you.
Yeah. Are you a comic book fan, Tiffany?
I am. Probably not as hardcore as you are, but we'll see what I can do.
All right. I'm going to give you the name of some comic book creators, and you try to name the comic book character that they created, okay?
Okay.
All right. Joe Simon and Jack Kirby created this star-spangled character in 1941 as a response to World War II.
Is it Captain America?
It is Captain America.
Comic creators.
Nicely done.
And guess what? You've got passes. You win.
Oh, my gosh. Awesome. Today's my birthday, so awesome.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
We've got five pairs, so if you get a correct answer, boom, you win, you're in.
All right, let's go to Tim in Placentia. Works in IT. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Good, Tim. Tim, in 2015, it was revealed that Bill Finger would also be receiving credit for his role in creating a character that used to be solely attributed to a guy named Bob Kane. Do you know what character that is?
Oh, this is a softball. It's Batman.
It is Batman indeed, sir.
Comic creators.
No drawing. You just got tickets.
That's right. You win.
That's awesome.
You're going.
Congrats.
And I appreciate your condescension, too. That was charming. We enjoyed that enormously.
All right. Two for two.
Let's burn Bean here with a guy that works for the post office. It's Brian in Linwood. Hi there.
How's it going?
Good.
Brian, you're not one of those guys who steals mail, though, and you have 100,000 unopened letters in your basement, are you?
Negative.
Okay, good.
Are you not one of them?
It's a good
question.
That?
It's a good question, though.
You see it all the time in the news.
You hear that like once every 20 years.
You see it all the time in the news.
People mailmen are always hoarding mail. Oh, it's too heavy. It's too hard to deliver all this mail. I'm just going to throw it in the back of my van. That's not Brian.
You're not one of those many guys, are you, Brian?
No, not at all.
Oh, good. I'm glad to know you're one of the hundreds who do that in the postal service.
I feel like we may be off topic. 70% of mailmen steal mail.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Ridiculous.
Brian, here's your question. This character was created in 1942 by American psychologist and writer William Moulton Marsden and was inspired by his wife, Elizabeth, and their lover, Olive Byrne. Yeah, a little three-way action.
Wow.
Jeez, I'm talking
really?
About.
Okay, all right.
Do you know the name of the character?
Did I get any hint about the character?
I gave you a hint about the character.
It was inspired by a woman, if that helps you.
Inspired by his wife and their lover, Olive.
Olive.
Okay. All right. Now. Thank you so much.
Was it Olive Woman?
Stop was it Elizabeth Woman?
Stop stealing all that mail, Brian. It was Wonder Woman. Woman was the
comic
character.
Creators.
I just felt like that was enough of a hint to guess a woman. You know,
I would say. And well, you know, Mary's psychologist. He invented the lie detector as well. It's just as lovely.
All right. We gave away two pairs, so we still have three. We have an engineer from Ontario. Bob is on the line. An engineer.
What happened? Okay.
Hey, Bob.
Hello?
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
Here's your question. Here's your question. Created by Stan Lee and artist Steve Ditko in 1962, this is thought to be the first teenage superhero.
Spider-Man
is correct.
Comic creators.
You're going to Comic-Con. Boom. You got tickets.
Yes.
Nicely done. Let's go to Joseph in La Habra. He remodels pools.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. You got to get those papers, right, Joe?
Right?
Yeah. How about those tiles? Did the tiles come in?
Doing a lot of pebble teching.
Right?
The surface.
Joseph, you there?
You got to sand down that surface first.
Hey, are you there, Joseph?
Yeah, sorry. No, I'm at work right now.
Okay, sorry about that.
You're remodeling pools.
Okay.
Here's your question. Speaking of teenagers, this character was created by two high school students living in Cleveland, Ohio in 1938. The guys' names were Jerry Siegel and Joe Schuster. Do you know the character they created? Jerry Siegel and Joe Schuster.
1938 is a pretty good hint. It's kind of a significant year in comic book history.
Two high school students.
Superman
is correct. Yes.
Comic creators.
You're going. Okay.
All right.
Nicely done.
Good luck resurfacing that pool.
I missed the Bob days now.
Yeah, really?
All right. This is a Disneyland custodian from Fontana, Francisco. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Francisco. Here is your question. Created by writer Len Wein and artist John Romita Sr., this Canadian superhero joined a revamped version of the X-Men in 1975.
Wolverine
is correct, sir.
Comic creators.
Nicely done.
You're going to Comic-Con.
Sorry, I already put him on hold. That was on me.
Woo! Everybody's very excited. Congratulations to all the winners. I'll see you down there this weekend.
Oh, yes, they're comic creators.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Cool. Sounds dope.
Yeah, fresh.
K-Rock, L.A. and O.C.'s alternative rock.
Allie, we may need your help on this one because you're the only one of us here in the room, I think, that was raised Catholic?
Yeah, Catholic school my whole life and then Jesuit college. Ask me anything.
Okay, I will.
Oh, no.
What's the deal with, and I know I've seen it in movies, but I forgive my ignorance on many things having to do with Catholicism, but what's the deal with it's a wafer, and mm-hmm. you eat the wafer and the wine, and it's supposed yeah. to represent the
body
and
blood of Christ. Yeah.
And what's that about? Why do they do that? What does that mean?
It just brings you closer. It's just the ceremonial in it, and you go through classes as a kid, you mm-hmm. go through CCD, go through confirmation, you go through all that. So at least for me, in second grade was the first time I tasted the body of Christ.
Okay,
and I stuck it under the pew because I didn't like the taste of it. And then they had to stop my first communion.
Oh,
and it's all on videotape. And they had to stop to re-bless the bread, which I lied and said I lost instead of sticking it under the pew. Thank you, everybody.
A little too much information.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel awful still.
I liked it, but what do they give? Do they give the kids like Kool-Aid or juice or something? They're not giving little kids wine, are they?
Well, yeah, it's not real wine.
But they are very specific about, for the adults especially, about the bread and mm-hmm. about the wine that is used for this ceremony.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, it was in the news last week. The Roman Catholic Church has outlawed the use of gluten-free bread for Holy Communion, which raises a whole other series of questions. What about the people who have allergies for gluten? Now they go to church, and what happens? They get sick every week when they take the thing? I don't know.
You don't have to take it. A lot of people just sit there. A lot of people don't get up and
do it. And let's refer to it as take the thing.
Well, I don't know why we're speculating, but we have the world's foremost authority on Catholicism on the phone, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go right to the Vatican right now, and let's talk to the Pope, because His Holiness is back on the line.
Hey, how you doing, guys? How's it going?
Hey, how are you, Pope Francis?
Hold on a second. Okay, I got some body of Christ coming up, okay? Everybody take it out. Order up. Come on, let's go.
What?
Let's move these wafers. Hello?
Well, I'm glad that I'm glad you know what we're talking about here, because we're very confused. So you can't have gluten-free bread used in the wafers.
No.
I don't understand how come if it's really just a substitute for something else anyway. It doesn't really matter what's in the thing, does it?
No, it doesn't matter what's in the thing, okay? It matters a lot. Because it is said that the wafers, the bread used in the Eucharist, must be unleavened and purely of wheat.
Okay.
So it has to be in alignment with that creation. So you can't put other things in it and make it gluten-free. Oh, I don't want no gluten in my wafer. Shut up. You just eat the body of Christ, okay?
So is this...
All right, let's get some wafers out there. We got a hungry people waiting for a Eucharist.
Are you running a restaurant right now?
I am the people's pope. I'm making the wafers myself here in the Vatican.
Wow.
I am in the kitchen making the body of Christ. And I make the blood of Christ, too, as well. I'm stomping my feet making grapes as we speak.
I just feel like there should be other people that you could get to do that. You're a busy man.
People's I got to order Adam and Eve on a raft. Wreck them. Come on. Move it out there, people. Let's go. Order up. Order up. What? You stupid donkey. What's the matter with you?
What happened?
The guy dropped a plate of wafers.
Oh, man.
Don't grow on trees, mister.
You run a pretty tight kitchen there, Pope.
Making any more body, okay? Okay, what do you got? What's up?
Just trying to, further understand what's going on. Now, is this based on something in the Bible?
Well, it didn't give us the recipe in the Bible.
Okay, all right.
No, it's just been a long-standing rule of the Catholic Church. There's very specific rules about how the wine and the bread must be made.
I see. I got you.
So we want everyone just to stick to those rules and stop trying. It's like you can't say, oh, instead of wine, can I have a mocha cappuccino instead for Holy Communion? No! Those hipster bastards. Get out of my church is what I would say.
Hipster
like
Catholics?
Oh, yes. Oh, they come in with their hoodies and their beanies and their thin pants and their beards. Shave and get a job. Hey, pick up this order. I got a linguine sitting here waiting to go out for lunch. I make a lunch for the nuns, too. They like a lot.
Yes. Wow, that's you're nice. Doing a lot of work yourself.
Well, yes, I am the Pope.
Right.
Yeah. K-Rock. LNOC's alternative rock.
We're a bunch of sorry sons of bitches.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. KROQ.
Just ahead of Ralph Showbiz Beat. Ralph, you don't mind, sir. We got to take care of a little bit of business. All last week, we were giving away tickets to go see Arcade Fire at the Forum in October. And now we have to do a grand prize drawing to send somebody to see the band and others at Lollapalooza in Chicago. So I think we have the winner here.
Hello?
Hey, is this Brian Parkhill?
It sure is.
It's Kevin and Bean calling. How are you?
Fabulous. How are you?
Good. You already won tickets to see Arcade Fire at the Forum October 20th.
Uh-huh.
And we're calling to tell you that you're our grand prize winner, which means you get a trip for two to Lollapalooza in Chicago.
What?
Airfare, hotel, spending cash, three-day passes. You get to go to Lollapalooza.
What? I'm too What?
One more.
Brian's doing his own show.
One more time, Brian.
What?
I like it.
You see Arcade Fire, you see The Killers, Muse, The XX, Lord, Blink-182, Cage the Elephant, Foster the People, and many more. You ever been to Chicago, Brian?
I have not been to Chicago. I'm super excited.
You're going to love it. It's one of the best cities in the whole wide world, so you'll be there August 3rd through the 6th. Be sure to say hi to Arcade Fire for us. Have a fantastic time, man.
You're awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
How's he supposed to say hi to Arcade Fire for us?
Hey, guys. Kevin Bean, say hi.
If he does, if he runs into him, I just, you know, pass along our best. That's all.
All right, 7:54, Monday morning. Rob is here. Time for the showbiz beat.
It is a Monday morning. That means we took a look, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. War for the Planet of the Apes was number one. $56.5 million made it number one. Anyone see that?
I did. I loved it.
I didn't get a chance to see it yet, no. Spider-Man Homecoming was second at the box office with $45.2 million. So that's almost $100 million, over $100 million in the two top films that alone. So I can imagine not a lot left for the rest of the competitors. Despicable Me 3 did pretty well with about $19 million and made it number three. Then Baby Driver, $9 million, made it four. The Big Sick, with almost $8 million, came in at number five. Then Wonder Woman, Wish Upon, Cars 3, Transformers The Last Knight, and The House, rounding out the rest of the top 10 at the box office. Sad news over the weekend. We lost two Hollywood legends. Martin Landau passed away at the age of 89 years old. Besides being the star of Mission Impossible back in the 60s, he also had a hit syndicated TV show called Space 1999 that was terrific, and he did a ton of great work in films as well, including the classic North by Northwest with Cary Grant, then working for Woody Allen in Crimes and Misdemeanors, and then Tim Burton teamed him up with Johnny Depp in Ed Wood, and that won him an Oscar. That performance was insanely good in that film. And director George A. Romero, the man who launched the world of zombies in 1968 with a cult classic film called Night of the Living Dead. He passed away this weekend at 77 years old. Made his career making horror movies like Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead. But he started his career in Pittsburgh. He went to Carnegie Mellon and used to direct segments for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah, so a wildly varied career for George A. Romero, but a classic. Big news coming out of England, they have a new Doctor Who. The 13th Doctor will appear this year in the annual Doctor Who Christmas special. Peter Capaldi is leaving the role. And the new Doctor is a female for the first time ever.
Sarah Abramson?
Was this a surprise, Ralph? Or is this something?
Doctor Who, and she's going to get in the TARDIS and just bend over.
Had this been rumored that it was going to be a woman? Was it a total shock? Okay.
Yes, there's a ton of rumors and a ton of actual clues dropped in the series itself leading up to this announcement. So for those who are following closely, it's not much of a surprise.
And I've got no time for people complaining that it's a woman. I got no time
for that.
But Kevin,
time travel is no place for women, said one complainer in the Daily Mail
in the UK. That doesn't realize time travel is fictional?
It doesn't exist. Jodie Whittaker, we did not mention her name, but Jodie Whittaker is the name of the actress who has been tapped to play the 13th Doctor. So not only is it historic that it's a woman, but it's historic that there's a 13th Doctor because legendarily he was only supposed to have 12 regenerations.
Uh-huh.
So this is uncharted territory in more than one way. Pearl Mackie will continue to be the Doctor's companion, which would be interesting because she is the first openly gay companion of Doctor Who's. So you're going to have a lesbian in the TARDIS with a female Doctor. So, you know what I'm saying, right?
Right.
Yeah. That's what we're hoping for. Yeah, it's a brand new Doctor Who.
Yes.
Doctor Hoo-ha. Right? Who's with me?
Allie? I don't know.
One of these? Right?
Hello? Doctor Hoo-ha.
Unbelievable.
Come on!
Unbelievable, Ralph.
Pretty well done.
You people.
Now hiring both locations.
Right? Both locations are going to hire. And last night was a big deal on HBO, the return of Game of Thrones. Season 7's premiere was last night. And there, what should you see while you're trying to watch your Game of Thrones? What should just pollute your eyes? Oh, Ed Sheeran shows up. That's right, you heard me.
Oh, that little person.
That little ginger gnome, Ed Sheeran, showing up on your television. playing a traveling soldier in the Game of Thrones universe, who happens also to break into song. He likes to sing a little song around the campfire.
Aww, that's cool.
With the rest of his soldiers. Here's a little taste from last night's episode.
And a chain and a keep are nothing compared to a woman's kiss. For hands of gold are always cold, but a woman's hands are warm. For hands of gold are always cold, but a woman's hands are...
It's a pretty song. I've never heard it before.
It's a new one.
It's a new one.
Hmm. Oh, spoiler alert. Maybe it's a little late.
Spoiler alert that Ed Sheeran's on the show.
Well, that's just not a plot point, Kevin. Okay. It's fine.
It's just an appearance, not really a spoiler.
All right.
It's not all right.
So, Ralph, you
By the way, speaking of spoilers, I'm sorry. I just allow me this.
Okay.
Yesterday, I was quite thrilled with the announcement that Jodie Whittaker was going to be the new Doctor. I really thought it was a great direction for the series to go. And so BBC released a 60-second promo, which shows a person clad in Peter Capaldi's clothing that he wore as the Doctor walking through the woods, and he's got a hoodie up, so you don't really see who it is. And then they approach the TARDIS. The TARDIS appears, and the person drops the hoodie, and there you see Jodie Whittaker, right? It's a 60-second tease announcement for the new Doctor.
Okay.
Right. And so I tweeted out, congratulations to Jodie Whittaker. This is awesome news for the franchise. And in my tweet, I attached the link to that 60 seconds.
Right.
And I got S from people for spoiling the trailer, for spoiling the promo. Your tweet totally spoils the promo.
So they couldn't click on the promo that you
it's
put in your 60 tweet.
They were upset because the 60-second promo had been spoiled by my tweet.
And the announcement had already been made at that point. Too.
A ton. Yeah. It was worldwide news.
Hard to miss, yeah.
Oh, f*** you.
Yeah, that was my response. People thought I was too harsh. I said, no, you can't. The spoiler world we live in already is way too sensitive. But it's a 60-second promo. There's no plot twist. I didn't spoil anything. It's just an announcement.
Yeah.
It's just a publicity thing. Don't tell me I'm spoiling the 60-second promo for you.
I didn't bother watching it after I saw your tweet.
Right? Why bother? It's ruined.
Ruined the whole thing.
Yeah, I know. Your whole night's ruined.
Not even going to watch the season.
Fire must cleanse us.
Fire must cleanse us.
Right?
Burn it down. Burn it to the ground.
We got to start burning some stuff. That's what I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays. Donald Sutherland's 82 years old today. David Hasselhoff turned 65. Mark Burnett is 57. Luke Bryan is 41. And Billy Lord, the very talented actress, but is also the daughter of Carrie Fisher, 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I've only heard that Bean did a podcast.
Oh, Kevin.
I have not heard it.
Kevin, allow me to take you by the hand and walk you through the wonderland that is Bean's podcast.
I can't wait. That's next.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
It's like lame and it's like stupid and it's dumb.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Bean, why did you do a podcast while on vacation?
Well, he had to take some time off from doing a radio show. He didn't want to talk into a microphone. He wanted to take a break.
So
Kevin?
Why did you do that? And is it something you're going to continue?
I don't know about that. I guess I'll let you know in 10 minutes.
Okay.
But why did I do it?
Well, we addressed that. In the course of
my bad.
Examining the podcast, Kevin.
Okay.
So let's let that sit.
All right.
Okay. Bean did a podcast.
Yes.
Because, as I mentioned, he was on vacation and he wanted some time away from the radio business.
Right.
And talking to microphone and production and music and everything. So he sat down and did a full show all by himself.
Okay. All right.
Remember,
good idea or bad idea?
Well, here's the thing.
Good.
You know how some biologists will say in an ecosystem, if you remove like a predator or something from that ecosystem, the other species will just run rampant. They'll be overgrown and be too many of them. It will ruin the entire ecosystem.
Right.
Imagine the Kevin and Bean show. If you took me and Kevin and Allie out of it, what do you think the show would be filled with?
Talk about space.
It would be thanks for that info, Bean.
Yes.
It would be file.
Yes.
It would be all the stuff we try to hem in and keep Bean from doing, right?
Right.
So if you took us out of the equation, it just gets overgrown. It's like just weeds everywhere.
I must hear it.
Remember when Bean was talking to himself when he was leaving that radio station? He's like, so, Mr. Baxter, why are you leaving that? When he would talk back and forth to the songs?
Yes.
Imagine Bean talking back and forth to a computer. to start off the podcast.
Okay.
Hey, what are you doing? Aren't you guys on vacation?
As a matter of fact, we are. And it's me, Bean, coming to you from the Pacific Northwest, Seattle, Washington, USA.
Oh, USA.
So he starts talking to his own text-to-voice computer machine.
All right.
Here's some more.
However, fear not, because the whole show is going to be back in studio on K-Rock Monday morning.
Well, we are good if you just stay away.
Hey.
We got this without you.
I don't know that that's the attitude.
Hey, you computer.
Hey.
Saying those things.
You stop insulting me.
How could I control that and stop you from doing it?
That text-to-speech computer was playing the part of Ralph Garba. I don't know if you know.
He loves that.
It's Bean's dream show. Just Bean talking to a computer.
That's true.
That's why he did it.
That's what it would be.
Here's Bean telling us why he did this podcast.
But why am I here? It's not just because I've never done a podcast before and I wanted to see what it was like and I had a free day. No, it's because I have something so amazing that it won't wait until the show gets back on the air and I have to share it with you today.
Whatever.
Okay.
Now,
so
Kevin, you know,
so
you
great.
Know, when Bean says something is so amazing,
yes, it's
that it must be shared.
It's the exact opposite.
Thank you.
It's the most insignificant thing on earth.
Thank you.
Yes.
And he could not wait, to share with everyone a new musical artist he's fallen in love with.
Okay.
Called Joker Fan.
Okay.
Here's the intro.
Trust me on this. This can't wait. I must introduce you to the passionate, objective Joker fan. Please enjoy it.
The Seven Nation Army seemed like it was a good idea. Who could beat a Seven Nation Army? It was a gigantic army.
All right, I don't hate that.
Right. But Bean has usually no time for nonsense.
Right.
And that's all this guy is. He plays piano and just randomly says things.
He seems funny, but it does seem too fun for Bean.
Right. So you know why Bean would care?
No.
Here.
This man has recorded more than 17,000 songs, every bit as good as this one.
So, this guy's just numbers.
Wow.
Right? Sheer numbers.
17,000.
Now you hear that. You hear the Seven Nation Army song, and you say, okay, I got this guy. Right?
Right.
Oh, no. Oh, please enjoy.
Let's get a little deeper into his work. For instance, how about if you love Josh Groban?
Josh Groban, you're so good at singing nice songs, oh yeah.
I got to be honest. Here's the thing, and this is odd for me.
You find it very entertaining, don't you?
I love this guy, and I would bring this in, and you would yell at me. You would hate it. Yes or no?
Me?
Yes.
No, I would be 100% on board. I love this guy, too. I think he's fascinating.
How much this guy do you need to listen to before you get his shtick?
I still have 16,900 songs to listen to.
Well, I think you played most of them in your podcast, by the way. I cut it down to, I don't know, a dozen or so clips.
I'm still in.
Here's some more of that.
Okay.
When I came across this particular playlist, you know the first thing I looked for is, hey, is there a song about Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift. You sing incredibly wonderful pop rock crossover country song.
I think I did about 4 minutes on the Joker
stop
fan.
It.
I think it was about 4 minutes.
Here's more.
In addition to all the songs about singers, let's go a little bit deeper. I wonder what the Joker fan thinks about your favorite U2 album.
How about that Joshua Tree?
And then it goes on to break it down track by track.
I love it so far.
Well, you'd be happy to know, Kevin, but I heard from him on Twitter, and he's very excited that we're talking about his music on K-Rock.
But we need to take a break.
Well, no, one more, and then we'll take a break.
All right, one more.
Trust me, by the way, if you start going down this rabbit hole, you will see many hours vanish while you're in the magic of this musical genius.
Yeah, I saw my life vanish as I was listening to this podcast. But that was just topic one. There's so much more.
Oh, I'm in.
So much more.
This podcast, by the way, you can find on the Kevin and Bean podcast page, wherever you get the Kevin and Bean podcast, through the app on your phone or through Stitcher or whatever, you can find it there. And by the way, I should also mention, not to cloud the waters here, but there's another new podcast that's up that's called the B-Team podcast as well. Ralph, you're going to probably want to go through this one tomorrow.
I think I have the energy or the strength. I'm just that someone else can take that
I might have to take that
you
one.
Might have to take that
yeah.
one.
That one is Omar and Lightning and Dave the King of Mexico with a special appearance by Beer Mug talking about the Kevin and Bean show. and their interaction with it. That's also available both places, but you're telling me we're coming back. We're doing more.
Sure. We still need to talk about guinea pigs and fireworks, right?
I can't wait.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Side effects may include unpleasant taste, headache, dizziness, and morning drowsiness.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
The one time I make an effort for this stupid, stupid show.
And this is the thanks I get.
The listeners demanded it. They needed a breakdown, a live breakdown of Bean's podcast.
Look, Kevin, you asked me a minute ago why I did a podcast.
Yes.
There are a couple of reasons I did it. One is I've never done one before, and I thought it'd be fun. It'd be a good skill set. I don't know if you know the way things are going at K-Rock, but we'll all be doing podcasts soon.
Yeah, okay? There's no question about that.
And the other thing is, and Ralph, tell me if this makes any sense to you. We heard from so many listeners who really miss the show. You got that a lot on social media. Like, when are you guys coming back? I really miss you guys. And mm-hmm. I thought it would be just kind of a nice.
You said, I'll show them. I'm going to cure them of that by giving them this.
They won't miss us after they hear this.
I'll teach
them. I
thought
maybe just a little bit of new Kevin and Bean like content.
It's not like that at all.
You don't want to put our name on it, is what you're saying.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
My name on it.
It's Bean Fun Facts.
Right.
It's thanks for that tweet, Bean.
I thought they would appreciate it. I thought they would enjoy hearing us. And I will say,
drink the orange juice concentrate right out of the can. You need to add some water.
I got different feedback. I got Ralph's doing a great job. You guys stay on vacation. That's what I was getting.
I did hear a lot of Ralph's doing a great job. You're not missed at all, too.
All I heard was, you need to go in there and break down Bean's podcast. That's the only feedback I got.
It was suggested to me by more than one person that the podcast should be called Thanks for That Podcast, Beads.
Yes.
So where are we right
you
now?
You should totally name it that.
We've already been through, I don't know, an hour and a half of Joker fans' greatest hits.
Okay. It's about 4 minutes.
Now it's time for Thing 2.
Oh, no.
Moving on, Thing 2. I want to talk about Switzerland.
High on a hill was a lonely goat. Her leg on a leg on a leg.
No, that's Austria. We're talking about Switzerland now.
Yeah. Well, if only someone could have controlled that.
You're having someone play the wrong clip?
You did it. You played the song. If you know you're going to talk about Switzerland, wait a minute. That song isn't right. What kind of fantasy world do you think you're living in?
I was pretending that Kevin was on the show contributing.
That's amazing.
And by playing the wrong thing.
Playing
you're
the wrong
like
song.
A crazy
right,
person
exactly.
Who starts having the conversations with all of his old friends in the house by himself.
Look, I'm trying to jazz it up a little bit. Make it a little showbiz. Come on.
I love it.
Hey, no, wait a minute. That's Austria. That's not Switzerland.
Why would I play that?
Talk about Switzerland.
Switzerland is the one with the chocolate and with the watches and with the bank accounts, and as much talk as I hear about Las Vegas being a great convention city, I hear you haven't lived until you've been to a Geneva convention.
Boo!
Okay, fair enough.
And so now the fictional people who aren't there are now booing him, and he's like, oh, okay, you got me there. Okay. It's like a mental patient.
Okay, is Switzerland going someplace? Like, is there a...
Oh,
yeah. Point?
But first of all, let's give him props for the big Geneva Convention joke.
Sure.
Because the Geneva Convention, as you know, Kevin, is...
Not in Switzerland.
Well, no, it is.
Oh.
But it was a series of regulations they made about how to behave during the war.
Yes, how to treat
prisoners.
Okay, right.
That was originally written in 1864.
I see.
So it's that cutting edge current.
And he said convention like it's
comedy.
An actual people coming together.
See?
All right.
So, wow.
Still in.
The reason we're talking about Switzerland, Kevin, is because they had this amazing guinea pig law.
What?
Apparently, it is against the law in Switzerland to have a guinea pig. Oh, no, they're down with guinea pigs as pets. You can have a lot of guinea pigs. You just can't have a guinea pig.
So now we go into a deep, deep dive into the guinea pig law, how there's a Swiss company that will rent you a guinea pig if one of your guinea pigs dies so your guinea pig can have company.
Bean, are you talking to people who you think will one day move to Switzerland and want a guinea pig?
No, I just thought...
Kevin.
I don't want to screw up your clips if you have this, but I just thought how nice it was that they took the time to keep the guinea pig's best interest in mind.
Is this still part of the, this is so big I have to do a podcast, it can't wait?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Bean starts going on saying you can judge a country by how well they treat their guinea pigs, and it is a deep, deep dive.
Okay.
And we get to learn a little something about Bean.
By the way, Donna and I love guinea pigs. We used to have a number of them as pets. We had Wheat Wheat, we had Frito, We had Bedhead and my favorite, Tastes Like Chicken.
By the way, that's not a joke. People ask all the time. They go, is Bean really? Yeah, but he does
those name all real pets.
I wish I had more time to play you all the clips I want to talk about. But so I have to move on.
Sounds to me like you enjoyed the podcast,
it's time
Ralph.
For our next topic, which is, well, 4th of July season-ish, right? Okay. Fireworks.
Okay, good.
Baby, you're a firework.
Oh, hey, Katy Perry.
Come on, show the world.
Oh. You go, girl.
No. Come on.
No.
Come the freak on.
Here's why he's doing a podcast. Because he can be cheesy and not be called on it.
This is Footloose.
Yes.
Updated 20 years.
You go, girl.
Hey. Oh, hey, Katy Perry. Play that again. Play that again.
That's the best clip ever.
Baby, you're a fan.
Oh, hey, Katy Perry.
You
go, girl.
Yes.
This is Bean run amok, this podcast.
Right?
Why do I feel like that clip is going into regular rotation?
Oh, please. You know it is.
Kevin, given your extensive history with Bean, what do you think his take is on fireworks? Do you think he enjoys, the action and fun?
Bean hates fun, hates people, hates parties.
I think you'll be surprised by his reaction for fireworks, though, Kevin.
You don't want me going out in front of your house and weed whacking at 11 o'clock, do you? It's the same thing. I can't go outside and just scream at the top of my lungs until your dogs are howling along with me, because if I did that, it would make me a selfish neighbor and a terrible person who would have earned your scorn. So I won't make my unnecessary noise, and you don't make yours.
Okay? Oh, no. You're absolutely right, Kevin. You're absolutely right that you take. He went full Alex Jones on the fireworks community, I'll have you know.
It's 4th of July.
Yeah, this isn't daily.
They're not doing this every night. One day a year.
But that's my point, Kevin, is that it's not. I grant people the 4th of July, but this
there was
is the
couple days on either side of 4th of July.
This is the people who are blowing up stuff on the 2nd, the 3rd, and the 5th, and the 6th, and it's ridiculous.
That's me.
No, it got real. It got serious. Did you hear the tone in his voice?
Yeah,
He's ready to take some people out with the fireworks chunk. I wish I could play everything.
I do too.
But I can't, so he was signing off. And as you know, he mentioned you could find him on Twitter. You know what his Twitter handle is by any chance?
The guy that discovered Pluto.
Clyde Tumbaugh.
Clyde Tumbaugh. And because, again, once again, there were no natural predators to keep him in check.
Right.
He went into a large Clyde Tumbaugh chunk, including this gem.
And I'll leave you with a piece of tape from a Dr. Tumbaugh TV appearance. It might have been on What's My Line or perhaps an earlier incarnation of that show from way, way back when. But you get a chance to hear a little bit of the great man's voice as I say adieu.
I discovered the planet Pluto in 1930.
This is Professor Clyde Tumbaugh, who on February 18th, 1930, discovered the planet Pluto from the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona.
The mic has been dropped.
I'm going to put you down as a subscriber, Ralph.
You're going to keep doing it.
I don't know.
I think
Kevin is telling you.
You're going to keep doing it.
I'm pretty busy doing this show. I had some extra time because we were off. But
nope.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Really bad.
LANOC's alternative rock. K-R-O-Q.
I'm not...
you do good work.
I'm not super strong with the details. I'll tell you who I do know is on the phone. The great Adam Carolla, ladies and gentlemen.
Adam Carolla.
Back on K-Rock. How are you, Adam?
I'm doing great. I wish I could say the same for your podcast, Bean.
Adam, how are you going to come at me like that?
As a friend, uh-huh. If you saw a friend of yours flailing and drowning in a pool of water, would you not help them to swim, or would you simply tell them they're doing a great job until they inhaled enough water to go to Davy Jones' locker?
Of course you would have an obligation to save your friend. Is that what this is? Is this a podcast intervention call, Adam?
That's right. Dr. Drew's in the car with me.
He's
strangely silent because he doesn't participate in these kinds of interventions, but an intervention's an intervention. So he's here as well, and we're intervening, Bean.
All right. So how are you going to help? Because Bean may need a little help.
Oh, he needs help. He should definitely come out to my podcast masterclass that's going on in Irvine Improv on August 5th.
Okay, now this is real, you guys. This is not some Corolla comedy bit. He is spending a Saturday at the Irvine Improv teaching people like you, the Kevin and Bean listener, how to do, how to create and publish and maybe make money off of your own podcast. Now, Adam,
I like how Bean said, like you, the listener.
Because it has nothing to do with me.
Right.
Now, Adam, you are in the Guinness Book of World Records as the most successful podcaster in the world. So nobody has ever been more qualified to teach this masterclass than you, right?
Yes. And it's weird, as I was just thinking about it. You could imagine getting hold of me when we met, when I was a carpenter and a boxing instructor. Just the notion of doing a master class in anything would have been insane, but more so something that had never been invented. I would
right.
feel like if I could visit myself, if I could go back in time 20 years and visit myself, I'd be insanely confused by every aspect of
it. Yeah, nothing about this makes sense. What the hell is a podcast and how can you teach anyone to do anything? So let me ask you this. Most people who have dreams of being in show business at any level and doing any kind of entertainment are not qualified to do it and don't have the skills, don't have the talent, don't have the ability. What makes you think you're going to be able to turn civilians into podcasters, Ace?
I'm really just in it for the money.
Okay.
I think you can try to teach anyone to play the guitar or to do stand-up comedy or to hang a door, whatever it is, and then it's kind of, it's up to me to sort of give them the best technique and tell them everything I know about it, and then it's up to them and their God-given talent and their wherewithal and their drive to see it through. So obviously you're not going to make anyone successful, but you can certainly show them the path to it. And if they have the ability, then you can shorten the distance between them and success.
Yeah, they need the ability, Bean.
That was the problem with my podcast, was the lack of ability. Adam,
Drew is nodding feverishly.
Okay. Oh. All right. Adam, I'm sure you get people who ask you all the time, and maybe even more so back in the early days of podcasting and your success, but is there a number one on the list of things that you tell people is the most essential part of being a potential podcaster?
Yes. The thing I've noticed, and I mean, it's no different than any other facet of life, is people say they want to do podcasting, and I go, good, what, you know, how often you want to go? Every day, three times a week? And they go, no more than twice a year. Okay, well, how would that work if you wanted to lose weight? Like, what? How would it work for any facet of your life?
Right.
Anything that you wanted, you know? It's like, you got to go at it full time.
Bean? You can't just do one podcast. You have to keep doing it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yes,
okay.
So you need to do it at least twice a week with Adam's help.
So August...
I'd like to amend that for Bean. Bean, you've done enough.
August 5th, 10 a.m., Irvine Improv. You have two levels of tickets that are on sale right now through adamcarolla.com. You have the $75 general admission ticket that includes the masterclass with Adam, the Podcast One expert panel, 5 hours of instruction with a Q&A and a lunchtime pitch fest and a course workbook and the whole deal. And then what do you get if you want to pay the $150 for the VIP ticket? How is that different, Ace?
Because B needs that. Go ahead.
Two words, reach around.
Oh, there you go. All right. That's definitely worth it. That involves the lunch and the VIP post-show meet and greet. I love this idea, by the way. You know, there are a bunch of these master classes on how to do screenwriting or how to take photos or things like that. This is the first one I've ever heard of for podcasting, and you're not just doing it through your computer. It's actually in-person, hands-on instruction with the man who knows podcasting, Adam Carolla. I think it's a great idea, Adam. I'm really excited for your fans to get down there and do this.
Thanks, Bean. We'll send you a video link.
AdamCarolla.com for all the details. We'll talk to you soon, man. Bye-bye.
If something's lame and it ain't that good, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock. LANOC's alternative rock. Rock. Baby, you're a fire.
Oh, hey, Katy Perry. You go, girl. You can hear the rest of Bean's bonus podcast along with the new B-Team podcast featuring our own Dave, the King of Mexico, producer of The Kevin and Bean Show, Lightning, former producer of The Kevin and Bean Show, and DJ Omar Khan, behind-the-scenes man, audio whiz of The Kevin and Bean Show. They put a podcast together, too, and both of those are available wherever you get your Kevin and Bean shows.
Yeah.
So you might want to check that out. You may not want to, but you can if you want.
A lot of people thanking me for playing the greatest hits of Bean's podcast because they just couldn't get past Joker. they gave up at
a
certain point.
They got enough and then said, we can't move on?
I was able to give them the highlights.
First 5 minutes killed it for some folks is what you're saying.
I'm just saying.
All right. Yeah. Hey, it's 9:37. It is Monday morning. We are back from vacation. Ralph is here doing the showbiz beat. What's going on?
You know what? You know what's going on? Atomic Blonde.
Yes.
Right?
Atomic Blonde.
Can't wait. It does look awesome.
Oh, sweet Jesus. There's a big big billboard near my house.
Yes.
Of Charlize, and it's all neon, Atomic Blonde, and I just stand there and just stare.
Do you make that
one
noise?
1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours ago. Yeah. I'm just standing there. Police will come by. Hey, move it along, loiterer.
She is, first of all, obviously so, so beautiful, but so unbelievably talented in every movie she does. And it's so neat to see her doing a role unlike anything she's ever done in her long career.
Except for Aeon Flux, which was a lot like this.
Yeah.
Action film where she kicked a lot of ass.
I can't wait for this. When is this?
This is in theaters everywhere on July 28th, Kevin.
Can't wait.
The reason I bring it up is because we are having a special K-Rock Advance screening of Atomic Blonde on July 25th. So you'll get to see it before anybody else. Charlize Theron, of course, James McAvoy, Sophia Boutella. You know Sophia Boutella, Allie.
Yeah.
From? You know her from?
Sophia, from the Boutella family.
From the Boutella family, yeah. Yes, exactly right.
Great pastas.
No? She was the girl from The Kingsman.
With the feet thing.
Oh.
Yes.
With the feet
yes,
thing.
With the swordy feet.
With the swordy feet.
Yes, yes. That's what they're called.
She had
Allie's
swordy
got
feet.
Some jet lag going on.
I have such bad jet lag.
She had swordy feet.
It hurts.
She's apparently, she and Charlize have a relationship in this film.
Ah. Mm.
Okay. So if you'd like to go, I'm not going to just hand these out. You have to earn them. Because, you know, Charlize and I have a very close relationship, and I don't want just anyone going to see her movie. I want someone who
now, when you say you have a very close relationship, how long has it been since you talked to her?
We are very good friends.
How long has it been since you talked to her? Last week?
I don't know. It's not about time.
Week before?
It's not really. We don't judge our relationship by days and weeks.
I see.
It's beyond that. It goes beyond that.
Last year?
It's a connection beyond time and space. See. It
3 years ago?
It exceeds all of that.
When you did that West movie? What's that?
What do they do in the West, Ellie?
I'm real tired.
Swordy feet. Here's a little trivia question, a little Charlize Theron trivia question. If you know Charlize, then you'd be able to get this. I'll give you two chances to win, okay? 1996 was a very big year for Charlize. That's when she exploded into the public consciousness. Her two big debut films both happened in 1996. Name one of the two films that she appeared in 1996 that made her a star on the big screen. Okay, 1996, she made two films. That was her breakout year. She had her first two film roles. Name one or the other of those films and give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. First five people through with one of the names of those two films will get a pair of passes to see Atomic Blonde with me, wherever it's going to be held. I'm not sure. I was at the Grove, the Pacific Grove. I'll be there. And you'll be there, too, if you answer correctly. Speaking of movies, Monday, we look at the top 10 films at the box office from over the weekend. War for the Planet of the Apes was number one. $56.5 million made it the top movie at the box office. Spider-Man Homecoming, $45.2 million, made it number two. Despicable Me was third. Baby Driver and The Big Sick were your top five films. And Wonder Woman, Wish Upon, debuted to $5.6 million, making it number seven. Cars 3, Transformers, The Last Night, and The House. Rounding out your top 10
films. I'm a little bit concerned that Kevin has told us that he saw The Big Sick and he saw The Planet of the Apes. You also see Spider-Man, Kevin?
Yep.
So where's the awful movie that you saw over vacation? I know there's something you saw that was terrible, because so far it sounds like you saw all great movies.
You see Transformers The Last Night?
Yes.
Good man. Now we're talking. Now you're back to form.
All right. I was a little bit nervous that there was some discretion going on with what choices you were making.
Well, I'm in that movie club.
I forgot that's about the movie club.
They all show up and we put on our jackets and we go to the movies. So I can't always pick the good movies.
Was there anything else, Kevin, that you want to confess that you saw over the holiday?
Not that I can think of.
There wasn't that much bad this past couple of weeks.
Right?
Really.
Okay. But Kevin usually can find it.
Right. If it's out there,
he'll find it. Right. Right.
But we're actually blessed with a whole bunch of good movies in theaters right now.
Because, you know, Kevin's sweet spot is that, you know, the 20 to 25 on Rotten Tomatoes. That's what he usually seeks out.
No, it's more like 14 to 24. Yeah. That's about it.
It's hard to find a stinker right now, but if you can, Kevin will.
Very impressive.
You guys were on vacation, but you missed it, and we talked about Kid Rock running for Senate, his senatorial campaign.
Oh, thank God. He's going to make America even greater than it already is.
So good. We're going to be so tired of winning.
Yep.
Because you have one guy with the red baseball cap and the other guy with the pork pie hat and long hair and, podunk, podunk. That son of a bitch. Well, you'll be happy to know there's even more celebrities getting into politics.
All right.
Throwing her hat into the ring, Caitlyn Jenner has said that she's looking into running for political office in the state of New York.
Excuse me, she married Kris Jenner at one point in her life, so she is not qualified to make any important decisions ever.
Isn't that the truth? The political side of it has always been very intriguing to me, she said. Over the next 6 months or so, I got to find out where I can do a better job. So she is looking at the political landscape and seeing perhaps where she could fit in.
Look, I know the whole intent of the government, the way our country was set up, is that anyone can run for office because it's for the people.
Yeah.
But not everybody should run for office.
Right?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Last night on season 7's premiere of HBO's Game of Thrones, there was a little cameo appearance. Turns out that Maisie Williams, who plays Arya, mm-hmm. say Arya Stark, mm-hmm. on that show, she is a huge fan of Ed Sheeran's. And they've become buddies. And so Ed came by to do a little cameo on that show. And he appeared on last night's season premiere as a traveling soldier who also happens to be a little bit of a songster. Sits around the fire with the other soldiers and serenades them.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little taste from last night's episode.
And a chain and a keep are nothing compared to a woman's kiss. For hands of gold are always cold, but a woman's hands are warm. For hands of gold are always cold, but a woman's hands are...
It's a pretty song. I've never heard it before.
It's a new one.
Then she killed him.
Did she? Yeah. She disemboweled him.
Yeah. She said, oh, hey, Ed Sheeran. You go, boy, she said while he was singing.
It still kind of seems like stunt casting to me that would take you out of these characters. Take you out of the storyline to see somebody so contemporary.
Do you watch?
I don't.
Okay.
Did it ruin it for you?
I don't. It just seems all weird. Right. Any word on whether Ed Sheeran found the castle on the hill while he was on the show?
Oh, Bean, no one knows that song but you and me.
It was a number one song.
No one cares.
Put it in
the
file.
Big Ed Sheeran hit.
Even if everyone knows it, it was crap.
Yeah.
File.
I like the effort. I can't support it.
I don't even like the effort.
Please don't do that.
Right.
Now you know what the whole podcast is like, kids. You just have a little taste.
I realized why I loved it.
Imagine that, just long form.
I realized why I loved it, because it wasn't long form. It was Ralph bringing us little highlights.
Yeah.
And that's magic.
Is it?
It is, yes.
For you.
Yeah. Fire must cleanse us.
Fire must cleanse
right?
us.
Burn it down. Burn it to the ground.
Do we have an answer to my Charlize Theron trivia question? I believe Eric from La Habra was the first person through with one of the correct answers. Eric?
Yes.
1996 was a big year for my girl Charlize Theron. She debuted in 2 movies that year. Can you name one of them?
2 Days in the Valley.
2 Days Yay! In the Valley, absolutely. She played Helga Svelgen, the beautiful but deadly assassin in that film.
That was a great
it
movie.
It really is a great
film. She
film.
Was so great in it.
It's underappreciated. It's one of my favorites.
I agree.
How about, hey, just for giggles, Eric, do you know the other film?
I'd not.
From 1996. She was also in That Thing You Do. Tom Hanks is That Thing You Do. She made her debut in both of those films that year. Congratulations, Eric. You're going to go see Atomic Blonde. Hold on. We'll give you all
awesome.
The details. Also, congratulations to Alan and Curtis and Troy and Deanna. They are all going to see Atomic Blonde at the Pacific on the 25th, I want to say. Today's celebrity birthdays. Donald Sutherland's 82 years old today. Mark Burnett, TV producer, is 57. Luke Bryan of Country
Music is 41. Billie Lourd celebrates her 25th birthday. And David Hasselhoff.
You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
I mean, he is the mayor of Funner.
I thought there had been some clips there, because I'd been all day, and it just seemed like there was a big hole where the clip should go.
I mean, you skipped it a couple times, so I wasn't positive.
I skipped what a couple times?
The clips. You just ran right past Hasselhoff, so.
You played a clip every time I mentioned Hasselhoff today.
No, that's not true.
When did you not?
Do you want to settle it outside?
Yeah, I'll settle it outside. I'll cash you outside. How about that? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, The Bachelorette Report.
Woo-hoo!
Tomorrow with Ralph and Petros. We also have Sarah Chalk and Chris Parnell from Rick and Morty, and your tickets for Comic-Con tomorrow as well.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
They're all losers. I hate these guys.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.